We're constantly interacting with all kinds of people. It might be a person over the phone or online, and most of those contacts, you know, they go pretty smoothly. Once in a while, there are people out there who are looking to take advantage of you or of me, and sometimes it could be months before you realize you've been scammed out of money, or maybe even worse. Personal data. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. We are visiting today with a couple of experts from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection who work to keep you and I safe from fraud, identity theft, and a whole lot more. Sandy Chalmers is the administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Thank you for coming by, Sandy.
Good morning. Nice to be here today.
And Michelle Ryan directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Always great to see you, Michelle.
Hello, Larry. Thanks for having us.
Well, I tell you what, I want to start by talking about cell phones, our landlines. If you own a cell phone or landline, it means you could be a potential victim of cramming. And let's talk first about what is cramming exactly.
Cramming is putting charges on your phone bill, whether your long-distance phone bill or your mobile phone bill, that are unauthorized. It's tiny little charges that the consumer often just won't notice are there, and they're tacked into miscellaneous places. They'll have short little titles, activation. They'll just not be clearly defined as to what those charges are often. And often it's about $9.99 or some small amount that you're just not going to notice.
How can they do that?
Well, the phone carriers, the providers, allow for third-party billing on the phone bill. And so they go through that system, an affiliate system, to tack that charge on. And you might not realize that you're authorizing this charge to be on when you purchase a ringtone or an app or make a donation to charity, that it's going to go through your phone bill if you've done it that way. But there is a way for you to talk to your carrier and put this cramming blocking on, this third-party billing blocker on. A lot of them offer it for free, and so you should communicate with your carrier and activate that that process to make sure you don't have cramming if they offer it and provide it for you.
So, well, that sounds like a pretty good way to, pretty quick way to deal with it.
Yeah, it's direct, but you should still monitor. Even if you have that, systems break down, things can happen. So still be monitoring your bill to make sure that it's there each month that you aren't getting these additional charges.
And I suppose it pays, Sandy, to know the policy on refunds or fraudulent charges that your carrier may have.
That's always important. And you think about a child borrowing your smartphone to play a game, and you know how those ads are always popping up and how easy it is to authorize who knows what by just accidentally touching an ad. So you really have to be vigilant in monitoring your monthly phone bills. Something else we've been seeing lately is an uptick in fraudulent credit card charges also, and that may be tied somehow to the number of data breaches we've had lately. But consumers are calling us to say again that they're seeing charges they didn't authorize on their credit card bills. And they're always very small amounts, like $9.84 or $3.54. And the thing is, over time, that can really add up. And we do hear from time to time for people who have tried to remove a charge for 10 years or more unsuccessfully.
Wow.
If you ever run into a situation like that, please let us know about it and let us intervene for you and work to get you your money back.
Wow, I've mentioned this on the air before, but I had a situation where it was like $6.99 or something like that. I had that was not a bill that or something that I had charged. I did get a hold of the credit card company, and the credit card company immediately took it off.
Good, great.
I mean, there was no question about it. They just took it right off, and they contacted me then later and said, "Did you really charge this and this item and have it sent to Arizona?" And I said, "What item?" And I said, "No." And they said, "It seems suspicious, so we're going to knock that off your." And that was the credit card company itself. I was really happy with that.
Yeah. I think one of the harder ones to recognize is the reoccurring monthly one that keeps being the same amount every single month. That tends to be an inadvertent travel club or buyer club, and it can be on the credit card bill for that small amount, that $9.99 or $4.99, that you've entered some kind of subscription or service plan that you never did. And so when you compare your bill this month to last month to the month before, it's there all the time, so you just think it's this regular charge you signed on for. And so watching for the individual ones, but paying attention to that reoccurring monthly one you know nothing about. Call, ask questions, and find out what it is.
I want to give our listeners a chance to join in, by the way. I haven't given the number yet, so let me do that. You may have something connected with your phone, an issue or a question about it, or another consumer scam or a worry that you might have about a scam. I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you with your questions or with your comments. Another area that I just wanted to bring up while I'm thinking about it is travel clubs. Have there been some issues? I'm sure there have been some issues, Sandy, with travel clubs.
Yeah, it's been a real ongoing problem nationally. And, you know, a lot of the investigations that we do, we refer to the State Department of Justice for prosecution. And they were just successful in getting a $3.8 million judgment against a travel club that had been operating in Wisconsin called Travel Services. And what the judge and jury found was that this company used misleading tactics in order to get people to sign a contract to join the club. The travel club promised super deals that consumers, once they had joined the club, found that they weren't any better deals than they could get online themselves. And it was a club with annual membership fees, so, you know, fairly expensive for consumers. That judgment includes about $800,000 in forfeitures and restitution for consumers. So it took quite a while to investigate, go through all the litigation, but we were successful in getting about $3.8 million for consumers in restitution.
Oh, that's good news.
Yeah. A lot of these travel clubs will send postcards offering free airline tickets or something. All you have to do is come and listen to our sales pitch.
I've received those in the mail.
Sure,
in the past.
We all have.
Yeah, a lot of them. I mean, we've really kind of had a bit of a spike in the last year or two. You can get the airline ticket or you get the free hotel, and they often look like they're associated with a well-known hotel association or an airline association. And so you really get enticed into, great, I can go on this. But what we find out is you don't get the prize up front. You have to stay for the sales pitch. And that's a problem with how the law works. Mm-hmm. And you also then have a lot of blackout dates, or it just never comes to fruition. You just never get the prize. It doesn't cash out, or they're completely not affiliated with what's on the postcard and that company knows nothing about it. And so you never get the prize that way either.
Well, you know, there's another area before we take any calls. There's another area. I was thinking about you two here not long ago when we had through our area a bad storm, and right in my neighborhood, a lot of trees knocked down and there were a lot of damage to buildings and automobiles and everything else, and I was reminded of conversations we've had in the past about people who come in there and want to sort of fly-by-nighters who follow severe weather and don't do the kind of repairs that that you'd probably want.
That's right. They tend to suck you into that emotional, I need to get it repaired and get up and running again quick, and say they'll do a certain amount of work, whether it be tree clearing or roof repair or window repair, and they'll do it cheap, quick. They don't give you time really to check for references, don't put everything in writing. quality of work can be very questionable, and they're playing on those emotional heartstrings in that moment.
Yeah, it's really so. What's the best advice there?
Well, really take your time. Take the time to check with your neighbors and friends for names of companies that they've used and have had good success with. If you can, go with a local company and ask that company who their subcontractors are and whether they're local. As Michelle said, it's really important to get everything in writing. Don't rely on a verbal commitment. And then we have a really good fact sheet on this online that kind of takes you through the steps of what to ask, what questions to ask. But there are really good laws in place here in the state of Wisconsin to protect consumers who are entering into contracts with construction crews. So know what your rights are.
Talking today with a couple of experts in terms of consumer issues, Sandy Chalmers administers the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection, directs, and Michelle Reinen directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection for our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection as we talk with them about current scams, zeroed in a little bit about credit card cramming and phone issues. You can join us at 800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Ray in Green Bay, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi. I just called to talk a little bit about a thing that we experienced. I can't really call it a scam, but it was a questionable practice. Here's what happened. It was about 5 years ago. JCPenney had on their website, we shopped there through their catalog on the website, and they had an option to join a JCPenney buyers club, and there was a lot of information on the screen. You had to scroll down. At the bottom of the screen, there was this little checkbox, and the default was already checked. So we went ahead and made our order, ordered the product we wanted, and lo and behold, we started getting these charges on our credit card for this buyers club. But we didn't notice it. We had expected $9.99. We had expected a charge on the credit card for that amount for some other purchase. And once it got past us, we just didn't notice it for several months. But the interesting thing is, you know, when we called JCPenney about it, they said, well, that's been a very profitable program for us, which, you know, we had to agree. Stealing money is usually profitable until you get caught. But so I wanted to mention it really wasn't illegal. It was just sort of almost not ethical to hide that check mark way at the bottom of the screen. I think they changed that now. Secondly, I also wanted to mention the fact that this lawsuit that you just talked about, several million dollars winning a suit, several million dollars with reparations and so forth. The trouble with those kinds of actions is that the companies still make a lot of profit beyond that. So it's just a cost of doing business a lot of times. And that's a problem with the whole system that we have right now, I think.
Yeah. Interesting comments. Michelle?
Well, I thank Ray for calling in because he has definitely pointed out something we didn't in our conversation is watch for that pre-checked box on any website when you purchase something. It might be that you're agreeing to get emails that you don't want, so they're sending you tons of advertisements, but it might be that you're signing on for something. And he also reiterated that it's that $9.99. It tends to go unnoticed, and it's the most common charge that we see. So really be paying attention for that, and that pre-checked box is a good indicator. Watch for those heavily.
And they're practically on everything. If you get that pre-checked, that box is always checked, as far as I can tell.
Every website I'm on, it's, okay, get ads and other promotions. You see it all the time. Now, finding the Travel Club one is, or the Buyers Club is, not as common, but it's there. He saw it in his case. So be watching for those checked boxes.
Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, our guests. I'm Larry Mueller. Carl Christensen, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, I hope you haven't, but it's possible that you may have run into some problems relating to a bill or some sort of scam. If you have, Join in. Let us know about it at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show as we visit with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Again, 1-800-642-1234. Doris and Iola, your turn. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, this is the second letter I've gotten from this company. It's based in Madison, I guess, but it comes out right away. The first thing they say, property owners in Iowa are responsible for the maintenance and repair of the exterior water service line on their property. Well, I have a well. Why are they sending these out? Are they hoping to snag some, maybe some older people?
Doris, I got exactly the same letter in my mailbox the other day, and it's sitting right on the counter right now in my home. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Sandy, can you enlighten us?
Doris and thousands of other people in Wisconsin have received that letter in the last few months. And it's an insurance company. I think it's based in Georgia. But it's, as far as I know, a legitimate insurance company. And it's one of those things where you have to decide whether it's worth it to you to pay the premiums to have that water lateral insured. It's been an issue in Madison because, if I remember correctly, the city water utility used to do that work for a homeowner, and it doesn't anymore. So this is a company that's marketing heavily into Wisconsin. The Officer of Commissioner of Insurance is the state agency with jurisdiction over insurance companies. So if you have specific questions, you should talk to that agency about it. But the only advice we have is that it's up to you whether you want to assume that risk that something may happen at some point with your water lateral and whether you feel that you need to insure it.
But they wouldn't cover you if you have your own well, would they?
No.
I really doubt it.
No.
I think they just blanketed the area, and your name was on a name and address list.
And I wondered, actually, when I got it, I wondered, is this something that the city of Madison is working with this company? And I actually left it on my counter because I was going to shoot an email to the city and ask somebody in city administration if this was something that they had worked out.
And the kind of funny thing that happened was that the City of Madison utility wrote a letter to everybody in the city, and everyone who got that letter thought it was fake.
Yeah,
so that's right. That's where we are now.
Thanks again, Doris. Greg in Watertown, your turn. Hi, Greg.
Hi, good morning. Great show. I work with some small municipal utilities here in Wisconsin. And we do get periodic letters like was just being talked about, and they can be a real pain in the neck for the utilities. They just appear to be from a legitimate source. And we always, if you do have any questions, please feel free to contact your local utility to clarify things or check the websites. We typically post a note on the website explaining that we are not affiliated with this company and we have no requirements for inspection and things like that. The other thing I wanted to mention is that we do have periodic scams that pop up from time to time that are illegal. They typically involve phone calls, many times to minorities or small businesses, and they're targeting non-English-speaking minorities many times that basically, they threaten electric disconnection if you do not pay your bill, and they normally require personal credit information or a cash purchase card. And those also, like I said, it is illegal. It is you will never find a utility that behaves this way. We do not do business that way. And the first thing anybody should do would be to hang up and contact the local utility and let them know that this is going on in the community.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. We've partnered with several utilities across the state to get the word out to consumers on those utility scams. We have crooks that pose as utilities and say, unless you pay us within 24 hours, we're going to shut off your utilities. And
exactly.
They usually say, go and get a prepaid debit card and read us the number or wire us the money. We even had a situation where those criminals were going door to door and threatening people. So that's been a national trend over the last year or so to have these criminals posing as utilities because it tends to get people's attention. Nobody wants their electric or water shut off.
Yep.
And Greg is absolutely correct in that they tend to target Latino populations specifically. And in the Madison area have targeted Latino businesses as well. So it's not just a consumer scam.
Yeah.
One extra thing that they've done with that scam is target on the weekend, the Friday night weekend as well, when the email or phone call will come, because the billing department may not be open for them to call directly to the utility to find out what's going on. And they put that whole cutoff fear in. And we had a bitterly cold winter. And so people were responding.
Greg, thanks a lot.
Oh, sure. I'm just going to add one last thing. One other tip off is the time of year, because mid-April is typically the end of the winter moratorium on electrical disconnections, and so they will capitalize on that. So if you look in early spring, that is the time to be extra vigilant, because that's when those are most likely to pop up.
Yeah.
And that's all I've got.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate the call. Appreciate it very much. Good advice there and good tips that go right along with what our guests, Michelle and Sandy, are talking about. And Barbara in Milwaukee, we'll get to you next. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Thanks for having this great show. I have a question regarding both landline and cell phone billing. They often will sell you a contract for a set price per month, but then you'll find an additional, sometimes as much as 25% up in charges, not just state or federal tax, but some of them reading the descriptions, it sounds like just because we can. How does a consumer know what is legal, what is allowable, and what we can question?
Michelle? Go ahead.
Well, that's a great question. When you sign on for your services, okay, what is my total bill going to be with taxes? And they can figure that all out when you're doing that package and bundling and signing on to your contracts. And then they'll tell you, well, if it's a long distance, it's going to be an additional 25 cents a minute if you're calling California and things. So they won't know that end month total, but they should be able to give you what the taxes would be on a monthly bill without any additional calls. And then there's the cramming things that can occur that they wouldn't account for, but you should be able to see that. So taxes are something, universal service fees are something that are add-on outside of your bundle. But if you ever question that and you're not getting straight answers from the company when you call, and it's not what was represented to you during the conversation about signing onto the contract, file a complaint with our agency, because there are rules about not adding additional fees on when you have a contract without giving you proper notice. And if they've represented a certain price to you, that price needs to be honored.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
When you review your phone bill, the crammers tend to try to get their charges in the miscellaneous section. So that's a section that you should really pay special attention to. But call your carrier's billing department and ask them to go through line by line and explain to you what those charges are for.
That's a very good, piece of advice. And then how does Barb or anybody else for that matter file a complaint?
You can call our 800 number, 1-800-422-7128. You can file a complaint, call and ask questions, Or to file a complaint, you can go on our website and file there, datcp.wi.gov. And that's our department initials, datcp.wi.gov. File the complaint. We have hundreds of fact sheets there on different topics. Download a complaint form.
And Paul in West Bend, thanks for calling. Hi to you.
Howdy. Some interesting issues with this water utility feed into your house. You know, it's a part of the real estate, so there wouldn't have to be a title change on that if you're assuming ownership. You know, it's interesting, these unique shedding of responsibility and financial responsibility and legal financial ability is usually comes up when they, at their annual conventions, where the, in this case would be the water utilities annual conventions in Las Vegas, where they say, how can we unload responsibility? The other issue is, I think you have an issue there. Everybody does when they're trying to unload that. You don't know the condition of that pipe. They may make cathodic action or you've ordered it away and in 2 years it's going to fail. The other issue is that if they unload the ownership of that underground water feed to your residence, who owns the water meter? And if that's parked outside your house or in your basement, you can go back and say, well, I'm going to charge you an annual rent for your water meter or get it off my property.
Well, what's your comment? Michelle, any response?
No, as I understood it, it was something that occurred through the laws that there was a change of responsibility for maintenance of that, or should something occur, and then how that bills out. So that isn't something that falls within our authority. We're concerned about the scam and the mailers and consumers being enticed into something, a service that may or may not be honored, and making sure that consumers are asking questions about what service will be provided for what amount of money.
Caller shared a scam with us. She got a phone call, you've won a free carpet cleaning, and then a vacuum salesperson showed up to sell her vacuums and wouldn't leave the home. That's definitely something that person should be filing a complaint.
Yes, please do. That's a very old school way of getting in the door to try and give you a very hard sales pitch.
I'm interested to know whether that person is on the no-call list, because that would be another potential issue. She should not be receiving sales calls if she is on the no-call list.
No, good point. Ron wonders if there's a statute of limitations on false credit card charges. That $9.99 kind of thing that we were talking about.
We've run into looking at that as far as when we've had to build a case. Now, some credit card companies or telephone companies only allow you to dispute the charges because you should be monitoring your bill for 60 days. You need to notify them and contact them. If we're building a case where they started cramming your bill, they had no true authorization to do that, we've had to look at that and make arguments about how far back it is. So sometimes we've gotten it back 6 years or longer, but it's within a big case that we've had to do that.
Oh, okay. Linda in Sheboygan up next. By the way, we have open lines. Get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. 1-800-642-1234. Now let's turn to Linda in Sheboygan. Hi, Linda.
Hi. AT&T said they didn't get my payment for the month of May, so they billed me 2 months. So I had to stop the check, and that cost $35. I had sent them a check, as far as I know, you know. I always do. And so I guess I have to make sure to deduct that check from my checking account, because it only that when you stop a check, it only lasts for 6 months. And someone could cash it after that 6 months.
So
I don't know what happened to the check. I haven't gotten it back or anything. So
I
told the person. He said that he thought it was okay for me to talk.
Yeah, it was so, and so it's not shown up. Are you online? Can you go to your phone? Or I'm sorry, to your bank online?
Yeah, I've stopped the check. I stopped the check.
Yeah, and
but it cost $35.
Yeah, I know. And obviously, it didn't. And obviously, when you reviewed your checks, you did not see that it had been cashed.
That is correct. Yeah. Well, I didn't want to. I just wanted to say something about it.
Yeah, it's too bad. It's one of those kind of sad things. In this case, Linda, you might have in very good faith mailed it, and it just didn't get there. Sometimes that happens. We got something back in our office that had been returned to us. This was yesterday. Had been sent in 1972. And had come back. The person who had sent it out to begin with is long since retired, and it was pretty. We kind of actually saved it. I thought we almost have to frame that one, but it came back after all those years. So you may be right in saying, you know what, it's possible even when you stop payment on it that somebody could still cash it. And you know, again, the amount, you have to sort of balance, okay, it's 100, maybe my bill was $100 and it's going to cost me $35 to stop the payment. Do I want to risk?
Yeah, I had one about a year and a half ago now that I've just kind of held out there. It was a utility bill that I wrote it. I mailed it. My next bill said double the amount because it just didn't show up somewhere, and I called and got it taken care of with the utility company. But that check's just kind of lingering. But banks do watch dates of checks. I mean, a lot of banks won't cash checks that are over 90, 180 days kind of thing either. They consider them invalid at that point. So you have to weigh the balance of voiding the check with the bank.
Somebody told me, who was it? Somebody told me that they had actually paid a bill. They wound up having to pay it twice. But then the company got apparently the check came, and then they got a credit. Mm-hmm. So they got a credit in the next month. And, you know, that's the best.
Right. You have to balance if you can afford that, too, because if you then cancel it and don't let the company know and they try and cash it and it's not a valid check, do you end up with a fee that way, too? So be communicating with your utility company with what you decide to do.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Linda. Appreciate your call very much. We have Reed who wanted you to mention the senior booklet that you guys have put together. Reed apparently is a senior, or maybe has a senior parent. He said it was very helpful to him. So what's these? And we've talked about it in the past, but it's worth reviewing. What's the senior booklet all about?
Yeah, it's a little booklet that we've put together specifically for seniors and scams that target seniors. But it's also good general information for everyone.
Sure.
You can either go to our website and download it, datcp.wi.gov, or you can call our hotline, 1-800-422-7128, and we'll put a copy in the mail to you.
Wonderful. Rick in Stevens Point, thanks for calling. Hi.
Yes, good morning. Referring back to the insurance deals that you were talking about.
Oh,
earlier,
the water pipes, yeah.
Yes, about the water pipes. My wife and I actually got two letters on that. One was back in February, and the one caller, we've got our own private well. And so anyway, we just kind of discarded it. Well, about a month ago, we got another thing, another letter, you know, about your water pipes not insured and stuff. My wife did some checking and with the Better Business Bureau. And, oh, by the way, these letters both came from New York. And she checked with them, and they said, that's a scam. And then we checked with our homeowner's insurance, and he says, that is covered under your homeowner's policy, pretty much. And so we just disregarded them. And a lot of people I talked to, they says that they checked in on it, and it is a scam.
Yeah, and there could be here's the problem. There could be legitimate people out there that are maybe a little bit on the shady side, but they're not illegal. And then there could be others who are just bald-faced illegal, trying to steal your money. So that's the issue, is to always try to figure out, Sandy, who's okay and who isn't.
Well, and Rick raises a good point, specifically with respect to these water lateral and insurance. Check with your homeowner's insurance first and see whether it's covered. Some insurance homeowners' policies cover that, and you're already paying for it. Others don't. So that's another factor that you would want to weigh in as you decide whether to purchase the coverage or not.
Yeah.
And you can call or go to the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance website and always check to see whether it's an insurance company that's licensed or registered to do business in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's good advice. Thanks, Rick.
I get what caught my wife's attention, actually, was the fact that both these letters came from New York.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're seeing some that are coming from the South, some of the southern states as well. So it's interesting. Thanks, Rick. Pat in Madison, your turn. Hi, Pat.
Hi. I have some interesting information in regard to the law that was changed by the legislature in regard to sewer service.
Okay.
What happened is the homeowner now has to pay for any sewer service that has to be done between the hookup to the city or municipality to their home. And the municipalities don't have to provide that service anymore. So the city of Madison took some contracts, and they provided name of an insurance company that the homeowner can insure with in case they have any kind of a sewer problem. We live in an older home in Madison, so we took advantage of that because it could cost thousands of dollars to have sewer work done if something should happen.
Yeah. Thank you very much for calling, and that kind of goes along with what we were talking about earlier, Michelle.
It does. It seems to be pretty accurate. So they used to be able to, now they can't, and so that's probably a source of where some of the mailers are coming from the legitimate companies and people questioning why they're getting this mailer.
And in Pat's case, I guess if you would go to because she's in Madison, and wherever you are, you'd probably go to your local utility and just simply ask, have you got, you know, is there some sort of arrangement you have, or are you giving the good housekeeping seal of approval to this whatever company? And that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, and even if they are giving the seal of approval, as you called it, if they've had a relationship, it doesn't mean you have to sign on still. You can check with your own insurance company to see if there's an enhancement you can do if you're not already covered to cover it, and it might end up being less from you, and you then are doing business with someone you've done business with in the past and have a relationship with.
Yeah.
So lots of options for people, but the big thing, check it out before you act.
And Pat, thanks again. Joe in Whitehall, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I guess I kind of go back a little bit. My wife and I, we've had great credit for a long, long time. Had a credit card with a major card bank. And 2008, when the economy took a dive, they sent us a letter that said, you know, you're going to have to pay this really high rate or close your account. So we closed it. And we've noticed just, I don't have it in front of me, but we noticed recently that the last bill we got shows a whole lot of fees and charges, doesn't give us any kind of breakdown on it. And I was wondering if that CARD Act that was passed a few years ago gives us any kind of solution to that or answers. I guess it's just a matter of calling them and saying, what are these for? And do they have to mail us a line by line, or does it go back to the original contract 10, 12 years ago and you got to dig it up?
That's a good question. That may be tough to answer.
Yeah, and I'm not sure on the CARD Act and the line by line, but ask them to show you what those charges are for and see what kind of response you get. If you're not getting one that's satisfactory to you, file a complaint with our agency because we, you know, that's what we do is try and communicate with businesses to get answers for people in situations where they're not getting satisfying answers. So, because you want to know what you're owing them money for.
Yeah.
And one of the things we thought was odd in that last bill was that the principal was less than the last month, obviously, because they made a payment on it. The billing cycle was actually one day less, and yet the interest charge was more. And we were kind of figuring out how that worked, especially on a closed credit card account.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you've had thoughts on that.
No.
That's strange.
Yep.
That may be worth... Well, it's certainly worth going back to them, and if not satisfied, go to Michelle and Sandy and the other folks at the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, file a complaint, for sure. And again, the number to call is?
The number to call is 1-800-422-7128, and we have people there answering the phone during office hours, and you can leave a message after 4:30 and we'll return it within 24 hours.
Or online to datcp.gov?
datcp.wi.gov.
Oh, there we go.
And I should also mention that we have a Facebook account at WI Consumer, and that's where we put all our alerts when we hear of something that's bubbling up out there across the state. We let our friends on Facebook know immediately. It's a great source of information if you want to know what's going on as far as fraud and scams in Wisconsin.
And we have a link as well, I believe, on my Facebook page. So we will make sure that we do. If we don't right now, we'll make sure that we do have that. Yeah, Carl says, yeah, we've got it. Joyce in Pewaukee, we'll get to you in just a second. I'm Larry Mueller, our two guests today, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Join in at 800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we take a look at all the scams that are going on here across Wisconsin. Credit card scamming, phones, we've had issues, or at least questions, relating to water lines going to the house, and a whole lot more. You may have something, too. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or posting on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Joyce in Pewaukee, your turn. Hi.
I thought it was kind of comical. I was listening to your program, and my phone rung, and this fellow with a very strong accent, maybe like from India or someplace, told me that he was from the IRS, and I was having some problems with my taxes. And I said, I don't have any problem with my taxes. And he said, yes, you are. And I said, you know, I'm really having a hard time understanding you. Could you maybe put somebody else on? And he said, you should be able to understand me. And then he repeated the whole spiel again. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't understand you. And I hung up. And he called back again, and he said, why did you hang up? And I said, I told you why. I couldn't understand you. And he said, well, when I send somebody out to your house, an officer from the IRS, he says, you'll be able to understand me. And then he hung up.
Yeah, that's terrible. Oh. Yeah, we call those government imposter scams, and the IRS scams have been just everywhere. It's a national problem. But as Joyce said, they will call and say you owe money, and they can become very threatening. So I would encourage you to hang up as soon as you realize that it's not somebody from the IRS. Just hang up and don't bother trying to explain that, no, there's not a problem, because they will start threatening you with sending somebody to your house, and it can get kind of scary. We've also heard from people who say they've been called from somebody supposedly from the FBI, from the State Patrol, from the State Department of Revenue, from the State Lottery. It just goes on and on. Oh, from Medicare? That's another very common imposter. Just remember that a legitimate government official will not call you in that way. I'm sure he was going to ask you for money next. You can pay your debt, just give me your credit card number, and then, of course, you know, you're a victim of ID theft. If you ever get a call like that and you have any question about whether it's legitimate, just hang up and then you initiate a call to whatever agency, whether it's Medicare or IRS. But I think it is important, Larry, for everybody to understand that this kind of government imposter fraud is just everywhere this year.
Yeah, it's really too bad. Joyce, thanks for calling, and just hang up on those folks if they call back again. Carl in Madison, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. Larry, about 3 months ago maybe, I received telephone callers when something like, "Hi, Grandpa, don't tell Mom and Dad that I called." And I said, "I have no grandchildren," and they hung up. About 2 days later, I got a call from... and at that time, I was getting some supplies, from UPS, from Medicare. And this guy was trying to get me to give them a verbal authorization to send something. And, to cut the whole story short, I figured it was a scam and hung up. But my question is the following. I don't get many of these calls because I'm on a no-call list. I'm just wondering, is there a list of like, easy marks that go around where, I must have received a dozen calls in the next 2 weeks, with people trying to scam me. And I'm wondering if I got on an easy mark list.
Well, you don't sound like an easy mark, Carl, that's for sure, but... What about it?
Yeah, unfortunately, there are lists like that. And a lot of those robocalls, when you pick up, they'll say, press 1 to if you don't want to receive these calls anymore. Well, that call is from a lead generator somewhere in the world. And once you press the number, it lets that lead generator know that you have a live number and that you respond to fraudulent messages when they come through on your phone. And that information is sold over and over and over to these fraudulent organizations all over the world. So what we recommend is that as soon as you hear that recording playing, just hang up, don't press a number. The grandparent scam, that is still out there. Every year we hear from people who lose thousands of dollars to that scam. Carl wasn't fooled by it because he doesn't have any grandchildren. Just be aware that that is a very common scam that it just never goes away. We also have the lower your credit card interest rate calls going on right now. We have Publishers Clearinghouse calls still going on out there. We have the Microsoft tech support scam calls going on. And I just, we say this every time we're on your show, Larry, but fraud is everywhere. And it's most commonly perpetrated by telephone. Mm-hmm. So just keep that in mind.
And thanks again, Carl, for calling. Joan in Williams Bay, thank you for calling. Hi.
A couple of things. My post office helps me from time to time identify a very legitimate-looking letter from a familiar company as a scam. And number two, I think I was told that it's illegal to stop payment on a check when you're paying a bill. And the third thing I want to say is just hang up when something like that happens on the phone. Don't give out any information. I had someone call for my husband who died 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was a long pause before he identified what he wanted. And I knew it was fake, so I just hung up.
Yeah, but on the stopping payment on a check, I'm not sure about that.
I'm not either, because banks do that. You just, what I had mentioned, have to be careful, because if the company you mailed the check to, it receives it and then tries to cash it and it isn't valid, there may be an invalid check fee that you're going to have to pay to them, plus if your bank charges you to stop the check. So know what check you're stopping and why, because there's many times when checks still get stolen and are fraudulently written, and you find out those check numbers, you want to stop them with the bank. So I don't know where that comes from, but making sure that you can stop those. And I think that's great that your post office is helping you identify legitimate mail from scam mail. And if your post office won't do that for you, other listeners, then, you know, a friend, a family member, or just kind of get a coffee group together to go through your mail. And if everyone got one, well, that's usually a mass mailing. So
there you go. Jackie in Milwaukee. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, this might take a minute or two, but number one, I never answer the phone. If it only rings three times, they hang up. That's one point. The other thing, I'd like to talk to somebody about what happens when you go to get gasoline at a filling station. I get an article from a place called Bottom Line Personal, a magazine, and they have the biggest list of how they can get your information by your credit cards and things like that, by things that they do at the tank where you're getting it filled.
Oh, you know what? We're running short of time here. That's a topic we need to bring up. And Jackie, thanks for raising that topic. We're going to take a quick look at the news and the weather and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net. And our two guests today, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen, are making a note on it right now, and we'll address it as soon as we get back from our look at the news. Stay with us. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. In the course of an average week or month, we act as consumers many times, so much so that it's easy not to be vigilant about your monthly bills and sort of everyday interactions. Larry Mueller here again. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network. Talking about consumer scams today with Michelle Reinen, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Michelle, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
And Sandy Chalmers. Sandy is the Administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection, and thank you.
Nice to be here, Larry.
We had a great question from Jackie in Milwaukee that involved credit cards. And Michelle, do you want to, or Sandy, do you want to go through that?
Yeah, what can happen is that criminals can put a skimmer in the credit card reader on the gas pump when you pay at the pump. That allows them to capture all the information on the magnetic strip on your credit card. And then they can also install little pinhole cameras that allow them to see the PIN that you enter. So this has been a problem. We had a widespread problem in the Milwaukee area where Jackie lives. So that's something you should watch for. If you're going to a gas station that doesn't look like it's heavily used or the lighting isn't real good, same thing with an ATM, one that doesn't get a lot of traffic, that makes it easier for a criminal to install one of those credit card skimmers.
Because it's not the gas company doing
it. No, it's a crook.
It's a crook
thief,
who sneaks
right.
in the night or something and installs this stuff unbeknownst to anybody else.
Right.
Yep. It looks just like the regular swipe card that you would have when you're doing it. It's hard to recognize. So be vigilant to what Sandy's talking about with location and lighting.
Yep, and all that. And Jackie, again, thanks for bringing that up with us. John in Genoa City, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I got a question. A friend of mine at work, he got a realtor to sell his house, and he wasn't happy at all with the work she was doing. So he ended up firing her within, like, the first, I think, 2 weeks. Later, after he sold the house, they found out that he sold the house through another realtor, and somehow he found out that he had signed something saying that he has to use them to buy his next house, and that he has to pay a fee if he doesn't use them. So I thought it was kind of dirty business, you know.
Well, that's, oh, so that's the fine print again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just wondering what to tell him about that.
The State Department of Safety and Professional Services regulates the real estate agent occupation. So that's probably where I would recommend your friend go and file a complaint with them and see what their regulations are governing real estate agents.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't seem right. So it's certainly worth looking into, John. So, and again, what's the name of that organization?
It's Department of Safety and Professional Services.
There we go. Department of Safety and Professional Services. Thanks, John. Rochelle and Madison, hi to you.
Yeah, hi. I have a question about phone calls and if you know of any scams where people will try to call your cell phone. And the reason I'm asking is I got a phone call on my phone. I didn't answer it. The area code was 407, and then there were 6 0s and a 1, and I've never seen a phone call like that. The thing that made me wonder is I was just recently out of town traveling, and I had told my credit union, you know, about my credit card. I might be using it in another state. And then I got a phone call from Humboldt, Tennessee. I don't know anybody in Humboldt, Tennessee. And then I got a phone call from somewhere out in New York City. And then I got this weird phone call from Florida that was the 407 and then 000-0001.
Okay. And well, unfortunately, technology makes it very easy for criminals to manipulate the caller ID. So they could be calling you from India or Russia or China or Malaysia or anywhere in the world and make it look like they're calling you from the 608 area code. That's really unfortunate. It makes it difficult to know who to trust when you answer your phone. So they probably weren't really in Humboldt, Tennessee. They were probably calling from somewhere else in the world.
Mm.
Do you know of a way to trace a phone number to see if it's legit or not, or just don't even touch it if you don't know it?
Well, there are a number of online services where you can type in a phone number and see if anyone has reported getting scam calls from that number. As a law enforcement agency, we do have enforcement tools that we can use that aren't available to the general public. But, you know, there are a lot of websites where people go and enter the phone numbers they get calls from, along with any information about the pre-recorded message or the fraudulent sales pitch. And that's one way that you can kind of screen or just learn about the numbers that you're getting calls from.
Can you recommend a couple?
There are lots of them out there. If I can be honest, what I do when I get a call, especially on my cell phone, is just Google and the number, and a number of websites will come up where consumers report the numbers they get calls from.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I think the other practice Sandy and I probably pretty much both use, especially with our cell phones, is you see that number, you don't recognize it. It's from somewhere, and you're not expecting a call from that location. You just let it ring through. If it's some kind of business you need to be doing with somebody, they leave a message that becomes legitimate, and then you call back because you know it's something you need to respond to. But a lot of these, there's no message, and it rings and rings. I got a lot from Washington last year, and there was nothing there.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Rochelle. Philip in Green Bay, hi.
Hello. I had a phishing scam phone call last week. It was an area code 701, and they said, this is customer service, and we're sorry to inform you that your debit card has been canceled. It will not be usable.
So what did you hang up on them, Phil?
They gave you two options. If you want to continue with this so we can clear this up, press 1. If you want to ignore this call, press 2. Well, as soon as you hit two, it starts the whole spiel all over again, so I just hung up.
Yeah.
Yep, hit those buttons, indicate that you're a live body for them, and then you're on a list. So just hang up to those calls, and if you're concerned then about your card, look on the back of your card, call the number that's there, and contact the company directly.
And because you did push one of those buttons, you might expect in the next month or so to get a whole pile of those. So just hang up on them, as Michelle says.
My bank on speed dial so I can check my balance. So okay. I called them, so that call I made. It was probably just a cam. I double checked.
All right.
For a long time, those kinds of phishing calls used national bank names. Hi, we're from Wells Fargo or from Chase Bank or whatever. Now they're starting to use the name of regional or even local banks, and they're able to target an area where chances are many of the recipients of the calls you actually use that bank. So just be aware that that's a typical way of phishing for your information. And if you do get one of those calls and aren't sure, be sure to check with your bank. Remember that if anyone calls you out of the blue and asks you to verify your credit card number or your social security number or your bank account number, chances are it's fraudulent.
Thanks for calling, Phil. Kathy in West Bend, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hello. I'm calling actually for my daughter-in-law.
Okay.
They rented an apartment about 18 months ago now. The lease was for 18 months. They stayed through the end of the lease, although that was kind of a strange situation too, but they originally rented from the owner of the property, who then gave them information that they were to be dealing with a property manager. And that's the person to whom they sent the rent, and if there was any problem or anything, they would call that company. Now, at the end of their lease, they were told verbally by the property manager, before they had even moved out, that they would not be getting any of their security deposit back because the original owner had declared bankruptcy. And if they had a problem with that, they should be contacting his wife because this original owner is now in prison. This does not seem at all right. The 21-day waiting period for a security deposit has now passed. What do they do?
Well, I would file a complaint with our agency so we can look into it, because that letter that you received is going to be really important.
They received no letter.
The letter about where to pay the rent, the letter that they received a little while ago that you referenced about paying the rent to the property management company, that one
Correct.
Could become pretty important as to exactly what it stated. If ownership changes during a tenancy, they need to inform the tenants of that, but that can also change the responsibility of who holds the security deposit, and it depends on how assets were transferred as to who, you know, has to pay that security deposit. So let us help you sort through that and file a complaint. You can contact us at 1-800-422-7128.
Okay.
All right. Good luck. Thank you for calling. Bruce in Green Bay, let's give you a chance. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What I did is I received some mail, and it was my address but someone else's name on it, and it was a ticket from the Brown County Sheriff's Department. And so, again, it's another person's name with my address. So I took it downtown to their office, and the girl pulled up the address, and she said, you know, there's actually four different families that are using your address as with their place of residence, even though I've been living there for 6 years. So, you know, when you think about it, people that rent a property or have a property, there's no law that says they ever have to change anything, and I guess some people aren't. That's kind of a, not a scam, but I mean, I ask, well, how can I fix this? And they go, well, you'll have to get an attorney to take care of it, but there's four other people, you know? I mean, that would be four cases, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
It's just a puzzling thing that's out there.
Yeah, I think that is a lesson for everyone to just be very careful in checking your credit report every year. And you should can do that for free and should, because you always want to verify that your information is accurate as it relates to your credit report. And when you rent and move around or have different addresses, the extra things can get tacked on to your report, and you want to monitor that. And this is a similar kind of example of what can happen. Yeah. So
have a nice day. Thanks.
Yeah.
You can get that credit report at annualcreditreport.com.
Annualcreditreport.com. And Cindy in Green Bay. Hi.
Hi. I am actually right in the middle of a Craigslist scam.
Uh-oh.
I had posted just a couple of items that I was selling, and I've sold things and bought things on Craigslist many times. And in this case, I was selling a rug and received a response on it, replied to that response, which I had done, you know, hundreds of times before. Got a response back from them saying they were out of town. Can we, you know, can we work out that her son would come and pick up the carpet? Not a problem. Gave her my name an address, which I probably shouldn't have done, but that was the only information I gave her, which is common knowledge anyway. Anybody can find that, you know, via the internet through whatever means. Now I am continually receiving these emails from this woman with all these instructions on doing Western Union things, you know, trying to set up some movers to pick up things. And 2 days ago, I received in via UPS a check for $1,960.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, I've not done anything with. I have reported it to the police, but I'm still getting all these emails.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a scam, Sandy.
It sounds like you've got every possible Craigslist scam going right there with that one woman. Yeah, there's a lot of fraud on Craigslist, and just because it's online, people can email you and try to entice you into doing business with them from anywhere in the world. But as soon as you hear that I'm out of town, I'm out of the country thing, that usually is a red flag that it's a fraud. And of course, never wire money to someone you don't know. The check, what they typically do is send you a check for more than the listed amount and ask you to cash the check and send them back the excess. Mm-hmm. And the check is fake, and because of the way federal law is written, you're liable for the full value of that fake check if you cash it.
Right.
And they know that. So, yeah, what we recommend is because there's so much fraud out there on Craigslist, before you list anything or before you buy anything or try to buy anything, read through the common scams section of the Craigslist website.
Okay.
Because they're pretty much on top of what is going on out there.
Is there anything that I can do at this point? You know, I've reported that email address as scam to Craigslist just on their site, but how can I prevent getting more emails from her?
Yeah, that's good that you reported it to Craigslist. You may be able to move that address into your junk email and just tag that as an email address you don't want to get
a look at.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it'll go right to your junk email. And, you know, she may get threatening, but just realize that she's probably somewhere in Africa or something and she can't hurt you.
There you go. Good luck. Thank you for calling. We have, well, let's go to Judy in Milwaukee with something relating here. Hi, Judy.
Hi. Again, it is relating to Craigslist, but I had put, when I was downsizing my home, I put some items on Craigslist, and a gentleman called about one of the items, said he was currently out of town, but he had a trucking company and had a guy coming through town or close by, and he could pick the item up and wanted me to hold it. Well, I told him I wouldn't hold it unless I had the money in my hand. So he said, well, FedEx, a cashier's check to you overnight, which he did. It came delivered by FedEx, and it was, for all intents and purposes, looking just like a cashier's check. But it was for significantly more than the item
sold for.
Yeah.
And when I emailed him to verify I'd gotten the check and said, you know, I don't know what you're trying to pull here, but this isn't good, he said, well, here's what I want you to do. Take an extra 50 for your trouble for holding it. When the trucker comes through, give the driver the rest of the money. Take the item's price out, take the extra 50, and give him the balance. Well, I immediately took it down to my bank because I knew this was a scam of some sort. They told me the check was good, and I still didn't believe it, so I took it to my local police department, who also told me this check was good. So I went back to the bank and said I wanted something in writing from them that if I cashed this check, I would not be held responsible when it came back as a bad check, which I knew it would. They refused to do that. I then insisted and made quite a stink right there in the bank that they call the bank this check was drawn from. And when they called, the check was in fact counterfeit. So you can't just take one person's word for it. I mean, you have to get really insistent to protect yourself, because both the bank and the police, who should be onto these scams, were not.
Yeah. Wow.
Another great example of that fake check scam related to Craigslist, unfortunately. And Sandy went through the different things before of the amount is always more than what you're asking for. Take a little extra for yourself. Pay the difference back. You'll be held responsible for the full amount of the fake check. Plus, you'll be out what you gave them in the difference. And yeah, that was a great thing that Judy did, being very insistent with the bank about put it in writing and then they won't. And it's likely they're not ever going to do that. So, and these cashier's checks, their crooks are getting very good with technology to make them look like legitimate checks. They go and get one that's legitimate and then copy it electronically. So be very, very cautious about that. Try and do business locally as often as you can, just because you can then follow through, check things out much easier.
We had a Facebook comment from Becca. Is it legal for gas stations to charge you one price for paying with cash and another for paying with credit? Paying a higher price when paying with credit card isn't done anywhere else that I know of, grocery stores or department stores. So why can gas stations do it?
Yeah, it is legal for gas stations to do that, as long as the prices are conspicuously displayed. And it is typical that gas stations will charge a higher price for using a credit card because they work on a very small, thin margin, and every cent matters to them. And I think grocery stores could do it if they wanted to, but that would get into a lot of difficulty having two separate prices on every item in a grocery store.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking of a store that sells food products, sort of like a deli almost. They just take, it's 5% less if you pay cash. They do the math right there on the spot, because it costs them 5% for the card.
Mm-hmm.
It's 5%, so they're just saying, if you pay cash, that's 5% less than we have to pay, so we'll give you that savings.
Yeah, the problem we would have with that situation, if the higher credit card price is not displayed,
right,
and somebody's surprised by that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, here we are, the end of another show. You guys did a great job as always, and thank you so much, and I'm sure we'll be having you on again in a month or so.
That'd be great. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Sandy Chalmers, Administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection, and Michelle Reinen, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. And we'll have them back in a month or so, and we'll talk some more about consumer protection issues. And go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We've got links to all of their, what they've got going on. And thanks a lot for listening. Garden Talk tomorrow, Barb Larson joins us. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Mike Crane, director of WPR. When you give to WPR, you make this amazing radio station possible. Wherever you go, at home or around the world, you can listen to WPR. We're on the radio, online, and on your mobile device. Our fiscal year ends on June 30th, and your donation right now at WPR.org makes a difference. Thanks.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Purple Cow Organics, Wisconsin-born and raised organic compost, potting soil, and tomato grow. Good soil, good life. More information at purplecoworganics.com.
When you shop with our online partners, like the NPR Shop or Amazon.com, a portion of your purchase may benefit Wisconsin Public Radio. Learn more at WPR.org/shop.